Blog Talk Radio.
I know radio probably ain't gonna play this, but chopper going off in the hood, man, like Afghanistan or the Gaza Strip somewhere, man. Yeah, we hear so much, we probably know to it by now. After all, it's the American way, right?
Home of the brave and free.
It's America.
Free just to murder me.
Land of the handgun.
Land of the beautiful.
Home of the shotgun.
Cursed by the hate we throw.
You're dead if you ain't got one. You said it the home of the brave, I guess. I said it the home of the cage and the vet. All alone with the J, fucking yay, cause he's stressed. On phone with the pet, fuck the spray from the spec. I learned from the bed, you to stay in the jet. Brought work from the vet, burn a rubber in the vet. This is good as it get, you to play with the rat. Then I got older and learned, stay away from the wreck. God bless you, nigga. The hustle up and make eight figures. Turn from a goon to a great young nigga. Don't complain that you're doing what it take, young nigga. I was raised in the decade, I hate young nigga. I would dodge your police because they hate young nigga. And we hate them too. 38 him shoot. How to change the system or take him through. He ain't a killer, but he will if you make him. Do a homicide here, right there, put him on trial. Let him have a life in it, then do it with a smile. And he only 19, he ain't even had a child. And the child told him, mama, he'll be gone for a while. And she cried, see her, did you put him inside? Now she all on her own, cause her other son died. Listen to the politician as he lied, and he lied. He a snake in a suit, trying to hide in the sky.
Home of the brave and free.
Well, damn, officer, what I do?
Free just to murder me.
Now, hold on, man, don't shoot, I live over there.
Land of the beautiful.
Hey, hey, man, what you doing, man?
Cursed by the hate we throw.
How many times did that happen to you? What the fuck do you know about being a black man in America? And you wonder why we walk around strapped. Fuck is you saying?
Hey.
For the stars and the stripes, cause the bars in the pipe. Young nigga rolling weed and a cigar he could light. Bang red, either blue, selling hard in the white. Live by the gun, never run from a fight. Trey Bun in the hoodie, walking through a neighborhood. He didn't do shit to buddy, he didn't have to die, did he? I guess because his dad was a judge in the city. They didn't want him in the pen with the thug that could get him. A jury of his peers said all were forgiven. The cup on the mind, right or wrong, I'ma kill him. Fill him with the lead like the put Martin Luther King head. Like the kill Mac-a-Man, Edgar Hoover did, yeah. You can catch me in the hood where they shoot niggas at. They don't know if neighborhood or the Hoover did, yeah. With the power rules of BLs or GD with me, we down the upright from the OG.
Home of the brave and free.
Don't get it fucked up.
Free just to murder.
If you ain't found something you willing to die for, you ain't fit to live.
Land of the beautiful.
To get something you never had, you must be willing to do something you never done.
The hate we throw.
I'ma die by my
hand.
Over the prisoner, more than the people who got to keep the children from becoming prisoners. That makes sense. Tell me why 9 ounces of crack get you more time than a rate right now. Tell me why the crazy white boy can tote a gun, but I can't right now. Yeah, I had felonies, I done did dirt in the street, but I ain't never gave to nobody that deserved it. You know what I mean? I ain't never ran no public play with no pistol shooting no innocent people. I ain't never ran no school killing no kids. Man, this is the result of you refusing to deal with the issues at hand. Product of the environment you place us in. We ain't do it. We just live through it.
Home of the brave and free.
Got a message to my people.
Free just to murder.
Stop
me.
Waiting on folk to help you. Help yourself. Start
land
with you.
Of the beautiful.
Get yourself out. Reach back. Get somebody
cursed
else out.
By the hate we throw. Is this the
new? And that's the way we gon' get ahead, man.
Sitting
around waiting on the government to do something for us ain't gon' never happen. Probably they don't give a fuck about us. Hell is you doing?
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, all holy praises are forever due to Allah, who is in the perfect person of Master Fard Muhammad. We give him praise and we give him thanks for traveling 9,000 miles on his lonesome to seek, save, and assist a people to whom no divine guidance had come to prior. And when he got here, he made the wisest decision that any human being has ever made. And that is when he anointed and appointed the most honorable Elijah Muhammad to be the eternal leader to his eternal nation. And I would be remiss in my very existence if I did not thank the two of them for the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a man who is bold, a man who is courageous, a man who is unapologetically for his people and all oppressed people. It is in their holy, righteous, honorable, and noble names that I would like to greet everyone under the sound of my voice. We say it in the ancient Arabic language. It simply means peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Dear family, I would like to start off this broadcast in the same spirit and disposition that I start off all of my broadcasts, and that is in the spirit and disposition of gratitude. I would like to first and foremost thank Almighty God, Allah, and the person of Master Farah Muhammad, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, for if it were not for those three men, I would not have anything of value as a young black man in the hills of North America to say to you this evening. So, dear family, I know it's been a couple of weeks that I haven't been on air. We had Savior's Day last weekend, and then the week before that, some last-minute things came up, but by Allah's grace and mercy, I am so thankful to be back with you all this evening. And it's always amazing how anytime I go a week or even 2 weeks without doing a show, Almighty God, Allah just really allows me to be in student mode and observe a lot of the things that's going on in the world, a lot of the things going on in our community, and even a lot of things that are going on with myself as I, like everyone else, am on a spiritual journey and a journey of self-discovery. But one of the things that I've been analyzing for a while that I haven't really been able to articulate on the show is this whole Monique situation. So that's why I entitled this installment of the Joshua Generation Speaks, Hands Off Monique. Now, I want to be very, very clear from the offset. I want to say to all black people, Sister Monique, you know, regardless of whatever tax bracket you fall in, regardless of whatever profession that you fall in, let this be a lesson to each and every last one of us. Something should not have to happen to us personally in order for us to give a damn about it. As I stand with my sister Monique, because everything that she's saying about the industry and about certain black devils in the industry is true, I also want to say to Sister Monique that you're not the only black woman or the first black woman to be underpaid, underappreciated, and whiteballed in Hollyweird. We as a community have to stop waiting until something happens to us in order for us to give a damn about it. With that being said, Sister Monique is in a situation, and it's a situation that's really been brewing for decades, but is just now coming to a head nationally because of the age of social media. Sister Monique's grievance with the industry is that she was approached by Netflix to do a comedy special. As we all know, our brother Dave Chappelle has done a few comedy specials with them, Cat Williams, Chris Rock, and a young lady by the name of Amy Schumer. Now, consequently, the first time I ever heard of Amy Schumer was when this whole ordeal transpired. I have the clip that I'm going to play real quick because the show tonight is only an hour and a half, and I have a couple of clips that I want to play, so we'll be diving back and forward. But in order for people to really understand Sister Monique's plight, I would love for them to hear it from her own mouth because she recently did an interview on The View. But I want us to listen, and I want us to take into account that Sister Monique is not saying anything new. And I'm going to show you all via other black, prominent black female actresses in Hollywood, how not only is what Sister Monique's saying not new, but it is very, very true, and it is very, very disgusting. Because black women are hands down some of the best entertainers on the face of the earth. Black women, from Viola Davis to Sister Monique to Sister Gabrielle Union, these black women who are building up their resumes, but then somehow when they build up their resume, it still isn't good enough to get paid the same as their white female counterparts. So I'm saying hands off Sister Monique, because I recently saw an interview where Charlamagne the Gossip gave the sister donkey of the day. And I want to respectfully say to Brother Charlamagne that disrespecting and ridiculing black women for speaking out is not only unacceptable, but it is highly feminine. And I want to assure everybody out there that all black men do not share the same behavior or sentiments as Charlamagne. Now, like I said in the beginning of the show, my only problem with Sister Monique and the rest of these celebrities is they wait until something happens to them personally for them to speak out. And until we as a people get just as pissed off when something happens to somebody else as we do when it happens to us, nothing is going to change. A person should not have to break into your house for you to know robbery is wrong. A person should not have to steal out of your car for you to know that robbery is wrong. A person should not have to stab you in order for you to know that stabbing somebody is wrong and that you need to take a stand against it. That's the only problem that I have. But as far as the truth that this sister is speaking, I back her 100%. And it's very, very telling. It's very telling how when a black woman speaks out about what she is going through, it's very sad that her greatest opponent is the white man's greatest creation, which is the black male nigger. We always jump on our sisters. We always go ham on our sisters. When the black woman has been the only one that's been defending us with all of the hell that we've been catching in this country. Monique said what she said, and one of her greatest opponents was a black man, Charlamagne, the so-called God. When Sister Jada Pinkett Smith called for a boycott of Hollywood because of the lack of black representation at the Oscars a few years ago, Chris Rock comes out on stage in front of the world and clowns his own sister. Man, we got to tighten the hell up and stop disrespecting our greatest ally outside of Allah himself. What in the hell is wrong with us? We willingly do the white man's dirty work. So here's the clip of Sister Monique explaining why she called for a boycott of Netflix. We'll listen to it very, very quickly, and then we'll come right back and we'll start to discuss it. Just so that everybody is aware, the phone lines are wide open. If you have a question or comment, you're more than welcome to push one. And once I see that you would like to come into the host queue, I'll be more than happy to bring you in. Also, the chat room is open, so if you would like to leave a comment or a question there, we'll get to you later on in the episode. But this is our dear sister Monique explaining the situation that led up to her calling for a boycott of Netflix. Now, I'll be totally honest with you, I'm not boycotting Netflix. I don't know many people who are, but I understand the principle then that she's talking about Hollywood more so than she's talking about Netflix, because we have to understand Netflix, Facebook, all this stuff is connected and is all run by fake Jews. All of it. It's just a different avenue to get black dollars. It's just a different avenue to get and to gain control of black and poor people's minds. They're all one and the same. So here's our gist with the Monique.
Oscar-winning actor and comedian Monique is calling for a boycott of Netflix for gender and racial discrimination, saying she was offered a fraction of what other comics are being paid by the streaming network for comedy specials. Now, she's here to share her story with us today. So please welcome the fabulous Monique. Mo, Netflix offered you $500,000 for a comedy special.
Yes.
They reportedly gave Amy Schumer $13 million.
Yes.
Is your issue that Netflix offered Amy more than you, or that you feel they're discriminating against women or women of color? What exactly?
Well, the issue was when I first said, let's boycott Netflix, I said for gender bias and color bias.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle received their offers. Mm-hmm. They were $20 million. They were very public about the offers.
Mm-hmm.
When Amy Schumer initially received her offer, it was $11 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She went back to Netflix and said, I shouldn't get what the legends are getting,
mm-hmm.
but because I'm a woman, I should get more. And Netflix agreed, and they then gave her $2 million more.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the $13 million
okay.
comes from. So in the discussion with Netflix, Robbie Prohl, who was vice president of comedy, when he was speaking with my husband Sydney and our attorney Ricky Anderson, they were saying, you know, speaking in reference to the deal, and they wanted to know, how did you come up with that number?
Mm-hmm.
How is it that Monique gets paid 126 less
mm-hmm.
than Amy Schumer would get
mm-hmm.
paid? And Robbie Prohl said, well, we go by what we anticipate you'll do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then Sydney said, well, based off of Monique's resume, you see that what she's done,
mm-hmm.
I know, but we don't go off of resume.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, then may I ask how you came up with Amy Schumer's number? He said, well, she sold out Madison Square Garden twice,
mm-hmm.
and she had a hit movie in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney then said, is that not Amy Schumer's resume? And then this was the response.
Mm-hmm.
Radio silence.
It got dead silent.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, we appreciate what you're trying to say. And then they said, well, because Sydney and Attorney Anderson said, well, what is your best offer?
Mm-hmm.
Robbie Prohl said, we'll go back and we'll meet with the team, and then we'll come back to you guys.
But Monique, when she sold out two full houses at Madison Square Garden, that means the girl can pull. It's all about asses in the seats.
I totally agree
and
with you.
You know what I mean? So
yes.
That's on her resume. That's what she drew.
Yeah.
Yes, I totally agree with
okay.
you. And when you look at the resume of Monique, that's asses in the seats.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the point.
So
it's not about the resume. It's about how people
draw. The point is,
yeah.
but it is also about the resume, because what happens is our finish line keeps changing. And when I say that, Whoopi, as a black woman in Hollywood, see, initially you're told, build up your resume, and that's what will get the money. Then you build up your resume, and then they'll say, well, you know what, we see the resume, but we'll get them the next time.
All right.
And you never meet your next time.
All right.
So when it comes to Netflix, and with Amy Schumer and Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock, and let me say this, what they got, they were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an issue with my sister Amy, mm-hmm. nor my brother Dave and Chris.
Mm-hmm.
But when the vice president of Netflix says to my husband and our attorney, by the way, Monique is a legend too.
Uh-huh.
Well, if I'm a legend, why wouldn't I get what the legends are getting?
Uh-huh. Okay. Do you think they underestimated the power of the black dollar?
Well,
because you say you can fill those seats.
I know they
underestimate
the power
that?
Of the black dollar. We see that in our movies, in the theaters that we're giving.
Black
we
Panther,
see that.
Right now.
That well, we
raking
see that.
It in, yeah.
And it's raking it in. And the question I would say is, that's not something that we don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Our movies do that when we're giving the proper opportunities.
Okay.
So when it comes to Netflix, and I have to go back to it, when you tell me that you are a legend, and we do know that Monique is great, and Monique is funny, then how do you offer me $12.5 million than you offer Amy Schumer, and $19.5 million that you offer two men that you say are legends.
Right. Yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah. We have to say that in a statement to ABC, Netflix says that they don't discuss contract negotiations. But that being said, Wanda Sykes actually came out in support of you, saying that Netflix offered her even half of what they offered you. So what was your reaction when you found that out?
Well, let me say this with Netflix, because they said they can't comment because they're in the middle of negotiations. There are no negotiations. Netflix came back and said, pretty much, you take it or leave it. That's what it is, and we're not willing to negotiate it. When Wanda Sykes came out, I applauded that. And I understand why oftentimes you don't be the first one to come out.
Yeah.
Because it can be a scary place. But then when you know that Wanda Sykes is with the same agent as Dave Chappelle, as Chris Rock, as Amy Schumer, why was Wanda Sykes the only one offered $250,000?
That is suspicious.
That is very suspicious.
But let me say something before. We don't have a lot of time.
I don't have names.
Because this is a more unpleasant question, but I want you to respond to it. Because there are people who think that it's because you have a difficult reputation, that you're a little bit of a troublemaker, that all started 8 years ago.
Yes.
So what do you say to that?
I say thank you for letting me speak on it.
That's why they didn't want to hire you.
And 8 years ago, I did a movie called Precious.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Very good.
And on that film, I received $50,000, and that was not my argument nor my fight, because that's what I signed up for.
Uh-huh.
Once I did all of my obligations, my deal was with a man named Lee Daniels. I did all of my contractual obligations, and I was done. Then when I start getting calls from Lee Daniels, Tyler Perry, Oprah Winfrey, and Lionsgate, and they wanted me to come work for free. They
to
wanted
do what?
To go over to Cannes and promote this film internationally.
Uh-huh.
And I said to them, I said, guys, my deal is with Lee Daniels, and I've done my job.
Uh-huh.
And they all agreed.
Uh-huh.
And this is what happens, in my humble opinion, when you don't go up to the hotel room. See, when I think about those women that
Wait,
said...
I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
Because contractually...
Yes.
When you make a movie, regardless of who you sign the deal with...
Yes.
Your job...
Mm-hmm.
is to go and promote said movie.
Yes.
But so when they wanted you to come, and we've had this conversation,
yes, mm-hmm.
and I said if you had called me,
mm-hmm.
I could have schooled you mm-hmm. on what was expected.
And when we did have that conversation, and what I said to you, mm-hmm. my sweet sister, I said, Whoopi, at what point do we stop saying the next time? Because
what was expected,
I want to answer it, though.
Yeah.
I want to answer when you said contractual.
You wanted to get paid for the publicity?
Yes, yeah. ma'am. Because if I had done something wrong contractually, they would have sued me. The reason why no one could do anything to me contractually, because they found out I did nothing wrong contractually. So when they asked me to come overseas
mm-hmm.
to promote the film,
mm-hmm.
When I said, guys, I'm spending time with my family, I'm going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I make the statement, this is what happens when you don't go to the room.
Mm-hmm.
What Tyler Perry showed me, Lee Daniels,
mm-hmm.
Oprah Winfrey, mm-hmm. and Lionsgate, when you don't do what we ask you to do, we'll take your livelihood. So for eight years, my family has suffered and my career has suffered because what I would not allow those entities to do was bully me. And because I didn't allow the bullying to happen, this
Wrong.
Is now what I sit in.
Okay. Yeah, we have to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot. Thanks for coming, Monique.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We'll
for
be right back.
You.
All praise is due to Allah. It's always good to hear from that person's side of the story because oftentimes what happens in the age of social media, people like to make jokes of people. They like to make light of situations, but the reality of the situation is that Monique, whether you think she's relevant now or not, whether you think that she's funny now or not, her career speaks for itself. We're talking about a woman who is an original queen of comedy. That's on record. We're talking about a woman who won Outstanding Actress on a sitcom for her show, The Parkers, which had 5 very good seasons. That's on record. We're talking about a woman who throughout her career has a lot of films that super exceeded the budget that it took to make them. That's on record. As you all can clearly see, she doesn't have a problem with Chris Rock getting his money. He's supposed to get whatever his team was able to negotiate. She doesn't have a problem with brother Dave Chappelle getting his money, he got what his team was able to negotiate. And even with Amy Schumer, and I'm on record, I don't know who the hell Amy Schumer is, but I know who Monique is. And I know for a fact, I'm not saying Monique, she may not be worth, in their eyes, she may not be worth 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13 million. Cool with that. But for somebody who has accomplished what this sister has accomplished, for you to think that it is okay to offer her a $500,000 after the long and consistent career that she has had, that is not only disrespectful, but it is offensive, and it shows contempt to the work ethic of every professional black woman in this country, whether she be a comedian, whether she be a lawyer, whether she be a district attorney. Because basically what you're telling black women is, you work your behind off, and I may give you your big break. I may give you your work. But then when you come to me seeking your worth, after you've done everything that I told you to, I'm going to move the finish line, as she said, I'm going to move it up a couple more yards. So you did what I asked you to do, but now I need you to do more. And she also spoke about something that I'm very, very adamant about exposing, and that is the black devils that are in Hollywood. I know y'all love Oprah Winfrey, but Oprah Winfrey is a black devil. I know y'all love Tyler Perry, but Tyler Perry is a black devil. I know you love Lee Daniels, but he ain't shit either. Because what they wanted this sister to do, first of all, she just did a movie pretty much for free. Because $50,000 ain't shit, pardon my French. Especially when you are a professional and you've accomplished what this woman has accomplished. And by the way, since we're speaking on Tyler Perry, how dare you make a career off of impersonating a black woman, but then you turn around and you treat this black woman like shit. To Oprah Winfrey, remember where you came from. You will not always miss Billion Dollar Oprah. You will not always legendary talk show host Oprah. So you need to remember where the hell you came from. And this is why you can't give a nigga money. Because a nigga is going to be to his own or her own people how the white man is to their own people. You're going to be nasty. You're going to be conniving. You wanted this sister to go around and tour for free after she just did a damn movie for $50,000. And then when she told you no, all of a sudden her career is suffering. And Monique is not the first person that they've done this to, and she won't be the last person that they've done this to. Anytime you don't play ball in Hollywood, either one or two things are going to happen, or three things. Either you're going to stop getting calls for jobs, you'll get hooked on drugs mysteriously, or you're going to wind up dead also mysteriously. Tupac didn't want to have sex or get involved in Quincy Jones' sex rings, all of a sudden Tupac is dead. Prince owned his own masters. I guess he didn't get the memo that niggas not supposed to own their own music. He winds up dead. Michael Jackson beat Sony at their own game. He winds up dead. So this is the reality of the world that we live in. Hollywood is not a nice place. Hollywood is white supremacy personified. And they set up these black devils in these key positions. And this is why with Quincy Jones and people like him, you have to be very, very careful about who they bring into Hollywood. Quincy Jones brought in Tevin Campbell. Next thing you know, Tevin Campbell is running down damn Las Vegas and damn skirts and whatnot. Brought in Queen Latifah. She went from conscious and talking about how the black woman should be uplifted. Her first movie role is a set it off. She's playing a dyke, and now she's gay in real life. She didn't come into Hollywood that way. LL Cool J, Will Smith, his first role was a homosexual cowboy. But this is what's going on in Hollywood, and a lot of people don't like to speak on it because we're such idol worshippers. most people who like Oprah only like her because she's $1 billion. She has over $1 billion. And since we don't have a real spiritual connection with God, we don't have a real spiritual connection with the cosmos, we equate a person's importance to how much money they have in their damn pocket. So the richer you are, the more important you are. The broker you are means that you ain't shit. We got to stop this idol worshiping. Sister Monique is not saying anything that other black women have not said. And as a matter of fact, when we come from off a break, we're going to hear from a couple of more black women who are saying the same exact thing that Sister Monique is saying. And then I'm going to ask the question, why are they coming so hard at Monique? You see, it's not so much the boycott that Sister Monique called for that they're mad about, because they know ain't nobody going to boycott Netflix like that. But it's the fact that now she's name dropping. And I would not be shocked, and mark my words, I would not be shocked if in the coming months they start going very, very hard against her. She might get sick all of a sudden. She might get into a car crash all of a sudden. She might get into some legal troubles all of a sudden. Let's not sit up and act like we don't know how the white man operates. Let's not sit up and act like it is beneath the white man to move to destroy anybody that starts to expose his wickedness, whether it be him directly or one of his black minions that he's raised up to do his bidding. More to come from the Joshua generation after the break.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33web.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent, and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV, and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop, along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6539 at 701-639-0190, or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student e-portfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
Welcome back to the Joshua Generation Speaks. For those that may just not be joining, we are talking about hands-off Sister Monique and the crucifixion of the black woman. When we say crucifixion of a black woman, obviously an image of a person being nailed to a cross and persecuted for deeds that the powers that be don't see as being good or productive to their way of life. But the black woman is being crucified. The black woman is being crucified in America. She's being crucified in the media. She's being crucified in society at large. And we have to start taking this personal, because the black woman is the mother of all civilization, all life. And if she's not receiving justice, that means that there is an imbalance in the universe. Thing that is unbalanced has to correct itself at some point. Do we really want the universe to turn itself on us for how we are mistreating the black woman? Do we really want God to bring out his judgment, his wrath for how the black woman is being treated? Now, again, like I said from the offset, the only problem that I have with Sister Monique and so many of our people is that we like to wait until something happens to us in order for us to speak out about something. And it shouldn't be that way. If you see an issue, if you see a problem going on, I don't give a damn if it's in Norway, Canada, speak out on it. When apartheid was going on all the way in America, who ain't never stepped foot in Africa, was speaking about it. We gotta get in tune with our humanity. We got to get in tune with our nature that makes us give a damn about our fellow human being. And until we get like that, nothing is going to change. So while I stand with Sister Monique and I stand with these sisters who we're about to hear from in these video clips, understand something. We all got to get to the point where if my brother or my sister is in pain, I'm hurting just as much as they are. It shouldn't take you not getting an award. It shouldn't take you not getting a job. It shouldn't take you getting physically injured for you to understand that this is something that needs to be addressed. So what I said, I don't believe that the Monique is being demonized and ridiculed because of her call for a boycott of Netflix. I think it's much deeper than that. I think it's because she's name-dropping. And she's name-dropping some heavy hitters. You know, black people love them some Tyler Perry, even though he ain't never did shit for our community, but exploit us. They love them some Oprah Winfrey, even though Oprah Winfrey ain't never been to no damn no BET Awards and said something about black women, ain't never even gone to the streets in Chicago where her show was, where she lived for so many years and helped build up those communities. She skipped right over the south side of Chicago and went all the way to damn Africa, where she's not from, her parents are not from, her grandparents are not from, and did something for people over there that she wouldn't even do for people over here. I'm not saying that people in Africa are not our people, but all of these celebrities, if you notice, they have Jewish accountants. They have Jewish advisors. And those Jewish advisors make sure that they let them know you can have as much money as you want to, but you cannot build up your community. And if you do try to do something in your community, it has to be a nonprofit organization. They don't let you go into an apartment complex and do $1 million renovation on it for your people and pay your people's rent up for a whole year. They don't let you put libraries into your own community, but they'll let you build a park there because they'd rather see black youth dribbling a basketball or throwing some pig skin rather than studying molecules, rather than having a stethoscope. They'd much rather them lifting dumbbells so that way they can be entertainment for white folks 15 years down the road. All these celebrities do that. Our brother 50 Cent, how the hell can you go all the way to Africa and feed millions of hungry children over there, but you grew up in Queens, and these black people are still suffering over there? I'm not saying no, go all over the world and help, but I'm saying charity starts at home. But that's what happens when you're a slave. That's what happens when you got fake Jews with their damn hand inside of your back, pulling your strings and winding different buttons and whatnot and making you go in the direction that they want you to go in. So as I said, Monique isn't the first sister to go in about what's going on in Hollywood. As a matter of fact, like I said, a couple of years ago, our sister Jada Pinkett Smith, she went in on the Oscars, and she spoke about why we need to make our own industries. So let's hear from Sister Jada Pickett Smith, who I would love to say is also a supporter of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Her and her husband Will donated money to the first Million Man March and the second Million Man March. There ain't no telling what else they've done as far as trying to help their people. So I definitely applaud Sister Jada, and I definitely applaud Brother Will Smith. And as I said before, it's sad that when black women come out publicly about issues that they're going through in Hollywood, their main opponent is some scared-to-death, cowardice, feminine. I was very disappointed in Charlamagne, the gossip, for how he came at Monique. I was very disappointed in Chris Rock for how he came at Sister Jada Pinkett Smith. These are black women that are on the forefront and saying what you scary-ass niggas are afraid to say. So this is Sister Jada Pinkett Smith.
Hi, today is Martin Luther King's birthday, and I can't help but ask the question, is it time that people of color recognize how much power, influence that we have amassed, that we no longer need to ask to be invited anywhere? I ask the question, have we now come to a new time and place where we recognize that we can no longer beg for the love, acknowledgement, or respect of any group, then maybe it's time that we recognize that if we love and respect and acknowledge ourselves in the way in which we are asking others to do, that that is the place of true power. I'm simply asking the question. Here's what I believe. The Academy has the right to acknowledge whomever they choose, to invite whomever they choose. And now I think that it's our responsibility now to make the change. Maybe it is time that we pull back our resources and we put them back into our communities, into our programs, and we make programs for ourselves that acknowledge us in ways that we see fit that are just as good as the so-called mainstream ones. I don't know. Here's what I do know. Begging for acknowledgement or even asking diminishes dignity and diminishes power. And we are a dignified people, and we are powerful, and let's not forget it. So, let's let the Academy do them with all grace and love, and let's do us differently. I got nothing but love. Hey, Chris, I will not be at the Academy Awards, and I won't be watching, but I can't think of a better man to do the job at hand this year than you, my friend. Good luck. And to the rest of you, nothing but love, always.
Now, what I love about Sister Jada Pinkett is after she said what she had to say, long before, this was before Chris Rock said what he said about her, she congratulated her brother on being the host. But she also said that she would not be watching it, and after that clip came out, and Chris Rock said what he said. But what Sister Jada Pinkett Smith said made so much sense. It is 2018, even though she said this maybe, I think, in 2016. What she said makes so much sense. Why are we still begging and seeking the approval of people that will never listen to me? White folks will never see us good enough. I'm 24 years old, and I accepted this fact a long time ago. Why is it that we as a people, all of you blacks that are 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, why in the fuck do you think Then after all of this time, white folks are just going to wake up one day, turn over a new leaf, and start seeing us as their brothers and their sisters. You are out your damn mind. It is not in their nature. Listen, it is not in white people's nature to see anyone as their equal. And I'm going to let you all in on a little secret. Nothing in the universe is the same. Nothing in the universe is equal. So you're sitting up here and you're seeking equality from a people who are your inferior. Now listen to me. When I say that they're your inferior, I'm not giving you a license to go out and mistreat anybody. We have to operate on high principles. You respect everyone to everyone, but at the same time, you don't let nobody try you. But from a biological and scientific and historical standpoint, black people are superior to white people. But the reason why they appear to be superior to us is because we lack knowledge and we lack understanding. So they're able to use our ignorance against us. They're able to exploit the fact that we don't know. And some of us are comfortable with not knowing. Now, black people got mad at Jada because she said we should withdraw our support, our resources, our money from these award shows in this industry that doesn't acknowledge us and respect us. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? The LGBT community, when they saw Black Panther and they realized that there were no gay characters in that, they got upset because they wanted to be represented in that movie. Mainstream media didn't get mad at them, even though I know it's some BS. Every movie doesn't have to have a gay character in it. But the mainstream media didn't get upset with them. Black folks, for the most part, didn't get upset with them. But why is it that when black people want to determine their own destiny, want to rely on ourselves, why is it seen as a crime? It is because the world knows that when the playing field is unbiased and black people are left alone, we are going to rise above everyone. And this is why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, who is the original man? The original man is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth. Stop right there. The cream of any substance is that which rises to the top. If you take a bottle of soda and you shake it up and then you open it, what's the first thing that's going to come out? The cream. All that black people have been through. And yet, as soon as a door opens up for us, we take it and we take it to the next level. At one point in time, they wouldn't even let black people play basketball. As soon as they start seeing us play, now the whole damn league is black damn near. It's almost an oddity to see a white basketball player who's a superstar. At one point in time, they didn't want us to play baseball. Used to talk about Babe Ruth until Barry Bonds broke his damn record, and they did everything in their damn power to try to take that brother's accomplishments away from him because he was better than their white savior, their white baseball savior. They sit around here talking about Rocky Marciano. But Muhammad Ali, if he would have boxed in Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson's era, that cracker would have got killed in the ring. And talk about the Fridge and Vince Lombardi and all these other white boys who were slow as dirt on the football field. But you had people like Jim Brown, who was 240 pounds, 6'2", running a damn 4.4, 4.5. They know that when we are left alone, we're going to rise to the top. So this is why they do everything in their power to make sure that we don't rise to the top. and they try to destroy any type of momentum that we are gaining. Just as a reminder to everybody that's tuned in, if you have a question or a comment, go ahead and push 1 so that way I can bring you in and we can have a discussion. And also remember that the chat room is open, so if you would like to leave a question or a comment there, you're more than welcome to do that also. Now, we heard from Sister Monique. We heard from Sister Jada Pickett Smith. Now let's hear from my sister Gabrielle Union, because she also has something similar to say. This is a very short clip, only 45 seconds. Let's hear what she had to say.
Hollywood is very segregated in that how we approach films of color. And no matter how well you do, it is you did good for a black movie. This summer we had Girls Trip that killed every comedy out there. Still, look at this little black movie go. As opposed to saying, how much was this film, what was this film's budget versus how much did it make? Our budgets are normally way less, and we tend to way overachieve. Isn't that cute? Oh my God, we had such low expectations for you, and look at you just overachieving. We actually didn't believe in your art at all. And look at you making us all money so we can finance the projects that we really like that you're not gonna be in. That's so cute, but thanks.
Now the question is she lying as well? So you have Monique saying the same thing. You have Jada Pickett saying the same thing. You have Gabrielle Union saying the same thing. But there's more. This is from our dear sister, Viola Davis, who we know for a fact is one of the greatest entertainers of all time, male or female. Let's hear what she had to say about what's going on in Hollywood and how differentiates between the sexes, the genders, et cetera, et cetera.
We won't talk about gender inequality of pay, because a lot of the women who've stepped forward, and I stand in solidarity with them, okay? What they're getting paid, which is half of what a man is getting paid, well, we get probably a tenth of what a Caucasian woman gets. And I'm number one on the call sheet. And then I have to go in and I have to hustle for my worth. That's what I feel like I'm doing when I demand what I feel. Listen, I have a more than a 30-year professional career. I had a friend who said, yeah, but Viola, your career is better than my career. I said, yeah, but you can't compare me to you. Because once again, I got the Oscar, I got the Emmy, I got the 2 Tonys. I've done Broadway, I've done off-Broadway, I've done TV, I've done film, I've done all of it. I have a career that's probably comparable to Meryl Streep, Julianne Moore, Sigourney Weaver. They all came out of Yale. They came out of Juilliard. They came out of NYU. They had the same path as me, and yet I am nowhere near them. Not as far as money, not as far as job opportunities, nowhere close to it. And yet, I have to constantly get on that phone, and I have fabulous agents, by the way. They are getting it. But I have to get on that phone, and people say, you're a black Meryl Streep. You are, and we love you. We love you. There is no one like you. Okay, then if there's no one like me, you think I'm that, you pay me what I'm worth. You give me what I'm worth. And even in terms of roles, because when I delve into a role, I want something complicated too. I do. Just like building the most unbelievable structure. A sculptor wants to build the most unbelievable building. That's how I feel. That's what I do as a human being, as an artist. I want to build the most complicated human being. But what I get is the third girl from the left.
Praise do talk also. All of these black women are being mistreated. But you know what I say to Sister Viola Davis? You know what I say to Sister Jada Pickett Smith, who I love her approach, because she actually has a solution to it. You know what I say to Sister Gabrielle Union? You know what I say to Sister Monique? Is that it's time for us to separate. There is absolutely nothing that can be salvaged from the relationship between black people and white people in this country. We have lived together for almost 500 years, and nothing has changed. I don't give a damn that we're able to go to their schools now. I don't give a damn that we're able to eat at their restaurants now. I don't give a damn that we're able to sleep at their hotels now. We're able to bank. I don't care about any of that stuff because they will never see us as being good enough. These people have gone out of their way to make it so hard for us in this country that a sane person would look at this situation and say, okay, it's time for us to do our own thing, like Sister Jada Pickett said. I don't know what else white folks can do to show us that they don't love us. From my understanding, they have left no stone unturned in showing us that we mean absolutely nothing to them. But yet some of us are still sick enough to think that it's just not all white. It's not about whether or not every white person is out to get you. It's about the fact that the white folks that are in the position to be out to get you are out to get you. And the ones that are not in position, they're only doing so because they don't have the authority. But your little friend who you do lunch with, your little white friend who you do lunch with, your little white friend who you play miniature golf with, if they had the ability and the authority to display that racism, you would be shocked at how many of your so-called white friends would look right over your job application, even though you're more qualified than your white male than a white person that's applying for the same job. You would be surprised how many of your so-called white friends go into laboratories, invent pathogens that purposefully are designed to ill affect black people instead of white people. You'd be shocked. So as we get ready to wind down on the show, I thank everybody for listening and tuning in. I want to get to some questions, so if you have any questions or comments, all you have to do is push one, and I'll be more than happy to bring you in. At this time, we're going to go on a brief break, and when we get back, we're going to start answering some of these questions.
Hey, you, human being. Yeah, you. Did you realize we were made from the earth, the actual soil? You couldn't have realized that, because if you would realize that, you wouldn't be putting chemicals on your skin, because it's like putting chemicals in a plant. What do you put on a plant? Water, some sunlight, and sometimes plant food, depending on how stubborn the plant is. Same thing with our skin, same thing with our hair. So check out my products, Shamika Body Hair and Face Butter Treats, on Facebook, and view the price list, the product list, the pictures, and place your order on my email at shamikarobinson1@outlook.com. Stop using chemicals. There is no such thing as eczema and all these ridiculous skin diseases that they're naming. It's called your body is responding to chemicals. So stop letting your body respond to chemicals and get nature involved with natural shea butters and cocoa butters and oils. Again, you were made from the earth, so stop fighting against your nature.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the Civil Rights Movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s Black Power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. O. Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African-American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
Peace and blessings, family. My name is Pamela Muhammad, and this is the Initiative Radio Network. Our program lineup is as follows. On Sundays at 3 p.m., we have Remnant Peculiar Israelites, hosted by Sister Shamika. On Mondays at 8 p.m., we have Keeping It Live Radio, hosted by Sister Phyllis. On Tuesdays at 8 p.m., we have the Aunt Canary Experience, hosted by Brother Anthony. On Wednesdays at 8 p.m., we have Who Did It To You? Roundtable Discussion with yours truly, Pamela Muhammad, Brother Dr. James Jones, and moderated by Brother Maurice Muhammad. On Thursdays at 8 p.m., we have Global Outreach, hosted by Sister Rhonda Michelle. And on Fridays at 9 p.m., we have Just Us Creating Economic Self-Sufficiency, hosted by Brother John. We believe at the Initiative Radio Network that we must create an environment where we can do for self and go to war against anybody who comes against what we decide to build. Trust and believe. We love you, black people, and we are giving our lives to make you free. Truth has come to you.
All praise be to Allah. We're back on the Joshua Generation Speak. So, for those that may just now be joining, we're talking about Sister Monique, the call that she made to boycott Netflix due to her being offered an extremely disrespectful amount of $500,000 to do a comedy special. Something else that she mentioned was that our Sister Wanda Sykes, who is a long-time, consistent, and successful black woman comedian, was offered $250,000, even though she has the same agent as Amy Schumer, Chris Rock, and Dave Chappelle, who all received $10-plus million. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is that how is it that between Monique and Wanda Sykes, who have 50-plus years of experience between them, they both put together are only worth $750,000 to Netflix? That's very, very disrespectful, and it's very, very telling. And at a time in this country, and you know something else that's very, very telling is feminists, both black and white, because at this point they're both one and the same to me. Feminists will get up and they'll go and march on Washington for women's rights and all this other stuff. But where are the feminists in defense of Monique? I thought feminism were for equal pay or getting paid what you're worth. Is that not what Monique is talking about? But you don't see any of these mainstream feminists coming to her aid. You don't see a million women marching for what's going on with the black women in Hollywood, even though Viola Davis and Gabrielle Union are always tweeting and posting about girl power and standing in solidarity, black women have to come to the same conclusion that black men have come to, and that is that this country doesn't give a damn about us. We can help them build up their world. We can help them fight for their causes, but when it comes to us, they don't have any support to offer. Like I said, I'm not surprised. You know, it's not the first time that they've deceived us, and it damn sure won't be the last. It's not the first time that they switched out on us, and it damn sure won't be the last. So we had better get it in our mind that the best solution to this problem is none other than separation. Now, I do believe that I have a clip here speaking about separation. I'm just trying to find it. Yep. And if I'm not mistaken, this is a sister, Ava Muhammad. I want us to really listen to this clip because we've tried everything. We tried boycotting. We tried protesting. You know what I'm saying? We tried. We thought, and many of us still think, that we can vote our way out of this. Many of us think we can pray our way out of this. But the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that it is better to teach separation than to teach prayer. Now, that's heavy. He is telling us that it is more important to encourage black folks to get from to get the hell away from white folks than it is to pray. God already knows our ills. He already knows what we need. But he's not going to bless us as long as we're up under white folks. He's not going to deliver us from our pain as long as we're under white folks, because guess what? The moment we get from up under white folks, most of our problems are going to go away. The only problem that we'll have if we separate from white folks is self-hate. And self-hate can be cured by knowledge of self. Do we want to continue going through this hell, or do we want to get our minds right and do what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has said? Here's a video clip about separation.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, for 40 years, talked to us about separation. He knew that no matter how much we tried, we would never be able to get along in peace with our former slave masters and their children. You know, God is so caring for the way you think that he brings us along and he delays his own judgment until the people of his choice understand his judgment. Do you remember the story of God visiting Abraham in the book of Genesis? And he tells Abraham that he is going to destroy the people of Sodom and Gomorrah except Lot and his family. Do you remember the words of Abraham? He said to God, "Would you destroy the righteous along with the wicked?" Well, that meant that he was not completely in agreement with God's decision against Sodom and Gomorrah. So the God didn't want to chastise Abraham, his friend, for not believing in the far-seeing knowledge of God that when he pronounces a judgment, that is it. But God wanted Abraham to agree with him. So he said, "Well, Abraham, you go and see if you can find 50 righteous, and I'll save the city." Well, Abraham went out looking, because he believed, evidently, that God's judgment was not correct. He believed that there was righteous people other than Lot and his family. Now, you may ask, well, how could a friend of God think like that? Well, we do. We sometimes don't agree with the judgment of God. And it's because we don't have a comprehensive knowledge of things. So when God, who is omniscient, makes a determination, then sometimes we say, well, wait a minute, God, you know, that seems rather harsh. And he takes all of that into consideration with someone that he loves. And so he said, well, Abe, you go. See if you can find 50. I'll save the city. Abraham came back. He said, gee, I couldn't find 50. He said, well, go back. See if you can find 40. Abraham came back. He couldn't find 40. He said, well, go on back. Maybe there's 30. Go see. And he kept that man going until he came back. He couldn't find 10. Then God said, well, if you can find one, I'll save the city. And it says, when Abraham came back and said he could not find one, said on that very day, fire and brimstone fell on Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, you may not wish to believe it, but God has already given his judgment on America. Now, you say and sing, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her. And we sing that song and we get emotional, you know. But God has sent down his judgment. America is that modern mystery Babylon of the book of Revelation. She looks good on the outside, but she is filled with filth and abomination of every kind on the inside. God is angry with her because she is a rebel against God and leads others into rebellion. Yeah. Whatever God says thou shalt not do, America says, why not? It's all right. So the Holy Quran says that the devil has made evil fair seeming to man. So the things that we do that we're confused about, is it right? Is it wrong? Should I or should I not? Well, why shouldn't I? It feels good. It must be good. Well, the God of judgment and justice raised the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to separate us from white America. Now, wait. If the judgment is coming down on them, you don't know why they're holding you. They really have let you go, but they hold on to you. You are a hostage. Because the enemy knows that you are the people of God. You are the people of God's choice. And God wants to use you to bring in a world of righteousness and justice. Yes, I know that we are terrible people. I know. But that's what makes it so special. He said, I will choose a people that was no people at all. I will choose a foolish people. I don't think there's anybody more foolish. If they are, you know, please show them to us. Because we have acted so foolishly. Yes? And still act that way. And we have a foolish kind of love for our oppressor. In every generation, we come up believing that we can change them. Yeah. We believe that there's some good there. Like Abraham, you know. And in every generation, we work and work and work for racial justice, racial harmony, racial peace. Getting old and tired and gray, sick and dying, and the enemy hasn't changed yet. We are fighting him like our parents fought his father, like our grandparents fought their grandfathers. So when are we going to decide that God's judgment is proper? In the book of Deuteronomy, God is talking to Moses, and he says in the 18th chapter, he says, I'm going to raise them up, a prophet like unto you, Moses. And I'm going to put my words in his mouth, and he will speak unto them all that I shall command him. You can't have a man like Moses unless you have a wicked ruler like Pharaoh and a people like the children of Israel who are under torment and misery for 400 years. Well, nobody fulfills that better than we do. And the solution for the children of Israel was, God told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Let them.
All praises are due to Allah. I see that Sister Pamela has joined us. Assalamu alaikum, dear sister.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam.
Wonderful. I was just listening to the minister. Of course, every time I teach, it just gives me such inspiration. And who can explain it more better than he? As a matter of fact, today I was having a discussion with my brother about, you know, life and, you know, the black and white issues and, you know, God, love, you know, hate and all those type of things. And, you know, we were respectfully disagreeing. He asked me one question that did stand out in my mind. He's like, you know, with the militant being so influential, why doesn't he's able, in a sense, to curb the violence in Chicago? I said, with all due respect, the minister has done and is doing everything in his power to you know, to help us to come up out of it. I said, but he teaches. We all have a choice on what we should do. I said, it's up to me to make a change in life for our people. It's up to you. It's up to us individually. He is the greatest example that he has. He do not, and that, like I say, it is not all on him. It is on us, respectfully. So, you know, with that, I just had to add that, brother. You know, nevertheless, I just tuned into your show, and as you know, and as I was also explaining to my brother, that we are the people of God. Some of us just really don't want to accept that God has chosen us, even as the minister said, and our most not so righteous self at this moment. But he has chosen us, and that is the beauty, that is the miracle, that he has chosen the people who others consider nothing, but with his love and with his acceptance and with the teachings, that we are a great people. And so some just have such low self-esteem among themselves or our people today, think, you know, we're just, as they say, only filthy right. So that's just my opinion of that, brother. Yes, sir.
All praise be to Allah. Love to hear that, dear sister. So I'm just curious, What are your exact thoughts on this whole Monique situation about the pay disparity that's going on in Hollywood? What are your thoughts on that? Because, you know, as a black man, the best that I can do in this situation is come to the aid of my sister. But you being a black woman, you clearly have more experience and clearly can come at it from a far better angle than I can as a black male. So I'm very, very interested to hear a black woman's take on this whole Monique situation and what's going on in Hollywood as far as black women being drastically underpaid from white women who they are clearly more talented than.
Yes, sir. As for several months now, or a couple of months, you know, we have been hearing the Monique situation about boycotting Netflix. Of course, some of us, I disagree with her. But, you know, I look at the situation as a whole, as our people are in, you know, in this world, and especially in Hollywood, and definitely I think that the sister, you know, I support her in that she's, you know, it's true that we don't get equal pay or exposure like other white women. That's absolutely right. So she has every right, in my humble opinion, to speak out to whom and whoever, regardless of the power, and, you know, say what I'm worth. You know, because she's working just as hard as a white woman, and she deserves to be paid also just as a white woman or anyone else. So I support my sister in that she's absolutely right, as Sister Gabrielle Union was saying in the I saw a clip with her recently, and she was saying that Hollywood is so segregated, and that, you know, a black picture does great. They don't say, oh, what a wonderful picture it is. Oh, that's a great picture as far as being black. But it's still even to make as much money as the white ones, but it doesn't get the same respect. So with that, you know, I support Monique and our other sisters or even brothers who stand up against the power that be and speaks out they deserve. But on the other hand, we have to also realize that it is a time of separation, and your open enemy is not going to treat you equally. And that is what she fails to see, and a lot of us fail to see, that we aren't a value in their life, that we aren't as important to their counterparts or their white people, that we aren't going to get paid the same, only if we start to appreciate each other and pull our resources together. We have more than enough money to support each other, but unfortunately, some of us want to be at the hands of the enemy and begging, and don't have the courage, as she has, to break away. Instead of helping her, we belittle her, and that's the problem. We are being divided, and so that's how we are continuing to be conquered. And with that, I rest my mic.
All praise are due to Allah, and I'm interested to see, do we have any questions or comments in the host room?
At this moment, I think we have one question here that I see. The question is, as I just stated, it says, quote, why can't Monique and all the rest of black women in particular pull together and pull their resources together to bring in money so therefore they have enough money to divide among themselves instead of waited on the white man or the Jews who are empowered? That's a great question. Why can't we pull together?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. That's why I played the clip of Sister Jada Pickett. She hit it right on the head. We need to retract our support of the industry, our money, our resources, and I'm always for that. You know, I think that we are too talented, too beautiful, and too fortunate of a people to still be begging white folks to accept us. I know it may be hard for us to accept. It may be hard for us to believe, but white folks will never see us as being good enough. And in 2018, the greatest enemy, let me rephrase that, the greatest obstacle in the way of black people's liberation, the false sense of love and loyalty that we have to white folks. They do not give a damn about us. It is time for us to do us, like Sister Jada Pinkett says. So I agree with that question. Why can't they do it? It's because they have a false sense of love, loyalty, and hope in a system that does not deserve nor want it.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Masfield, for your absolute right. And thank you also, Chat, for committing that question. Great, great question. I may add before we get off the line here. Absolutely right. And that's the problem. We are, I mean, it's almost hurtful to see our sister almost in tears, really, that she's begging, I mean, begging the enemy for respect, for self-worth. You're not going to get it with them. That's just the way it is. And unfortunately, like I said, some of us, going against her. If you don't agree with her, and then, you know, shut up and don't belittle her because, you know, as I said, if one don't stand up and, you know, if no one don't stand up, then it will forever be treated like that. But the thing is, like I said again, that we have to, as we've been teaching over and over, have to pull our own resources together. So we are continuously, it's the same thing of we're not getting Oscar nominated or other, you know, awards that they have because they're not for us. Get your own. That's just it. So with that, I rest my mic.
All praise are due to Allah, dear sister. Thank you so much for that commentary, and thank you so much for that question. As we get ready to wind down, I think we have just under 2 minutes. So the phone lines are still open, so if you want to call and make a quick comment, you're more than welcome to do that. But, you know, just as in closing, just some remarks, I want to thank Sister Pamela for coming on and offering those beautiful words and that beautiful insight as a black woman. And I want to thank all of the listeners for tuning in. Like I say, week after week, you guys are the ones that make this show what it is. And inshallah, me and Sister Pamela will definitely be back next weekend with another installment of the Joshua Generation Speaks. So, Sister Pamela, if you have any closing remarks before we go.
No, sir. Great show, and it's very interesting. I'm just waiting to see what will be the end result of Monique and this Netflix boycott and so on. But thank you nevertheless for the work that you do. It's a great pleasure working with you, brother. May Allah continue to bless you. And with that, good night, everyone. Peace and love.
All praises are due to Allah. Thank you so much, dear sister. And to everybody else out there, Joshua Generation Speaks, same time, same network next weekend. Assalamu alaikum. Have a wonderful week.